great to be able to learn together again, as I cherish these opportunities to be able to engage in high-level, meaningful learning together. And I want to give you all, start most importantly, with a tremendous yisher koach to all of you that regularly participate and in the learning, in the opportunity to engage in Talmud Torah, Limud Torah, and even in this time when we're normally not learning together. So again, I think it says a lot about you, and it says a lot about our shul and our afternoon kollel that there's such a dedication to Talmud Torah. What I want to talk about today is somewhat of a strange topic. And somewhat of a strange topic. And the reason why it's somewhat of a strange topic is because it might not be applicable to many of us now. But over the quarantine, I spent a little bit of time personally researching the topic of davening with a minyan. Now, again, I realize that for some people on this call, it's still not applicable. Many people are not able to go to minyan for either health reasons or because it is inaccessible to them. And I'm very sensitive to that. And that's why, again, I open up with the introduction that the genesis of this shiur was when I myself couldn't go to minyan. And I really wanted to understand what is it that I'm missing out on and what is it that I'm yearning and craving and davening to be able to get back to. Because after all, right, the reason why we learn about the Beis HaMikdash is so that we can understand what we were missing so that we can pine and yearn to get back to the Beis HaMikdash. If you don't know what you once had and you don't know what you're missing out on, so it's hard to miss it. And it's hard to want to get back to it so quickly. And so over quarantine, when I was davening at home for many, many months in a row, I reflected upon what role minyan plays in my life, halachically, right? And especially for someone like me, you know, again, I'm going to be honest right here, I thoroughly enjoyed davening with my children. I thoroughly enjoyed many aspects of davening at home. And while it was difficult not to be in shul, there was something nice about not having to be dependent on any chazan's pace. There was something nice about starting davening whenever I was ready to start davening, not necessarily when BRS had any zmanim to daven. Certainly as a rabbi, it was very nice not to be dependent on people waiting for me for Shema and for Shmona Esrei and be sitting in front of a room and feeling like you're being watched. And there were many challenging parts that, quite honestly, I enjoyed davening at home. And it's at that point where I said, hold on, Moskowitz, let's wait a second. Before you get too comfortable davening at home, let's remind ourselves what minyan is all about. And again, what it is that we're missing out on so that we can yearn to get back to it and we can appreciate it, please God, very soon when we're able to do it the same way we did it before this enormous curse of a pandemic hit our world. So it all starts with the Gemara and Brachos. And again, that's why I introduce it. That no one should think I'm insensitive to this. Dafka, I did it for myself to give myself chizuk. And for those who are able to go to minyanim now, I hope it'll give you chizuk. And for those who are not able to go to minyanim now, so again, this is to strengthen our tefillos to Hashem, that please God, things in the situation should resolve itself to the fact that all of us can be back to minyan. Even the way we're doing minyan at BRS nowadays, it's not the same. It's not the same without everyone there. Certainly populations who are not able to participate, the number of people that are coming certainly means that others are precluded from coming. And while I'm obviously thrilled to be back, it is not the same. And I myself yearn for a better day. So it all starts with the Gemara and Brachos on Dav Zayin Amabez. The Gemara over there has a very strange conversation. Amar Le Rav Yitzchak Le Rav Nachman. Rav Yitzchak says the following thing to Rav Nachman. My time lo asimar lebe knish de letzulyeh. Right, Rav Nachman, why didn't you come to shul today? Now, you can only imagine what would happen if Rabbi Goldberg and I started doing that every time we didn't see someone in shul. Right, if every time I didn't see someone in shul that morning, I called you up and I said, hey, you know, everything okay? I didn't see you in shul. You're still so firm as you were yesterday? Like, what's pshat? So Amar Leih, Rav Nachman answers back to him, lo yachilna, I wasn't able to. Amar Leih, Rav Yitzchak says back to Rav Nachman, L'chanfei, l'mar, asara, v'litzale. Okay, I understand you couldn't come to shul, but could you at least make a minyan, right? Can you bring 10 chairs outside with masks on and make a minyan outside? Amar Leih, Rav Nachman says back to Rav Yitzchak, tricha li milsa. Yeah, it's a little, I could have, but it's a little bit annoying, right? It's not so easy. It's a tircha for me to do that. So Rav Yitzchak says, wait a second, it's a tircha for you to do that? Right, v'leimaleimar l'shlucha de tzibura, ba'ina de mitzali tzibura leisiv leode lemar. Right, in other words, if you can't be there for minyan, so the next best thing is to daven when the tzibur is davening. And so, if you know there's going to be a minyan at 7 o'clock in the morning, least you should do is to daven with a daven at 7 o'clock in the morning, so at least you time it perfectly. At this point, Rav Nachman is scratching his head a little bit. Amar Leih, Rav Nachman says back to Rav Yitzchak, "My kulei hai," which is a nice way of saying, "What are you bugging me for?" Right? What is the significance of all of this? Certainly, what is the significance, as Rashi over there in Art Scroll quoted, right? What's the significance of davening at the same time as the tzibor? Even if I'm not there, who cares? Amar Leih, Rav Yitzchak says back to Rav Nachman, "De Amar Rav Yochanan Mishum Rav Shimon Bar Yochai, my dechsiv v'anis filasi lecha Adonai, eis ratzon," right? That for me, prayer is at a favorable time for Hashem. Eimasai eis ratzon. When is that favorable time? Answers the Gemara, "Bisha she'atzibor mispalim," that there is an auspicious moment when it is particularly beneficial for us to daven, and that is "Bisha she'atzibor mispalim," at the time that the tzibor davens. And then the Gemara, for the rest of this quote that I gave to you, simply reinforces that by quoting various other psukim in Tanakh. So, for example, the Gemara says, "Tanina mihachi Rav Nasan Omer, minayin sheina kadosh baruch hu mo'is betfilos and sholabim." How do we know that God does not despise the tfilos of the rabbim, of the congregation? Shene'emar, as the pasuk says, "Hein el kabir velo imas." Right, God does not despise the numerous. And then it goes on to say, "Amar kadosh baruch hu, kol ha'osek betorah ugmilas chasadim u'mispalim hatzibor." Anyone who learns, does chesed, davens with the tzibor, "Ma'ale ani alav kilu peda'ani li ulevanai mibeina umos ha'olam." It's as if I've been redeemed, and my children have been redeemed from the nations of the world. And so what you see from here, somewhat clearly, is the benefit of davening with a minyan. You have that very strange, and we'll get to why it's so strange in a second, conversation between Rav Yitzchak and Rav Nachman. And then finally, the conclusion to all of it is the fact that there is something beneficial. There's something uniquely beneficial about davening with a minyan. And what is that? That is that there's some element in the power of being with other people, that Hashem does not despise the tfilos of the many, of the masses. And we'll come back to that idea in just a little bit. My question here today, and this is the title of the shiur, right, was davening with a minyan, that the Gemara talks about and highlights. Is that the cake, or is that the icing on the cake? And what I mean by that is follows, right? Is it that davening with a minyan is a chiyuv, right? It's the cake. And if I don't daven with a minyan, then I've lost an element of the mitzvah of tefillah, that for the 3 months that I was at home davening by myself, yeah, I was davening, and I was fulfilling an element of that, but there was an enormous part of the chiyuv. I didn't really fulfill my chiyuv, because the ultimate chiyuv plays itself out and only plays itself out if I'm in the presence of a tzibor. Or do you argue that tefillah b'tzibor is not the cake, but it's the icing on the cake, right? In other words, I can fulfill my mitzvah fully, in its entirety, if I'm davening at home. But if I want the icing on the cake, if I want it to taste just a little bit better, if I want that little bit of extra credit, then I have to daven with the tzibor. I gave this shiur to a few guys the other night, and one of them immediately jumped up. He said, kind of like hiddur mitzvah, right? Which is very similar. You see a very similar chakira when it comes to hiddur mitzvah. And the chakira by hiddur mitzvah essentially says the same thing, right? In other words, let's say I take a gross, disgusting lulav, right? In esrog. So have I fulfilled my mitzvah? I just haven't fulfilled my mitzvah through a hiddur mitzvah. Or is it the fact that I have a gross, disgusting, pathetic-looking lulav and esrog mean that there's an element of the mitzvah itself that I haven't even fulfilled? So it's a very similar conversation here. Says the Sefer Emek Bracha, he says, "Amna masher nira li bazeh, deb'emes tfila b'tzibor eno klal chiyav mitzvah kecho mitzvahs derabanan." Don't think that tfila b'tzibor is a mitzvah midirabanan. It's not like every other mitzvah midirabanan. And what is his proof? His proof is a geschmack proof. He says in the conversation between Rav Yitzchak and Rav Nachman, right? And when Rav Yitzchak looked back, I think it was Rav Yitzchak, right? What was his name? Yeah, Rav Yitzchak. And when Rav Yitzchak looked back at him, sorry for making you dizzy. And Rav Yitzchak looked back at him and said, "You got to come to shul." And Rav Nachman answers, "Amr lei, Mike, right? What is all this?" He said, "Tricha li milsa. It's really hard for me to go out and to collect 10 people for a minyan." Says the Emek Bracha, "Wait a second. Since when do we say that because a mitzvah is hard, I'm simply not going to fulfill it?" Right? Do I say that not doing Borer on Shabbos is really difficult, so, you know, I'm just not going to do it. Or do I say that, you know, keeping Shabbos is really hard, so, you know, this week I'm gonna skip out on Shabbos, right? We don't say that. Lots of mitzvahs are hard. Lots of mitzvahs are very difficult to fulfill, and yet we do them anyways. So says the Emek Bracha, the fact that Rav Nachman answers back to Rav Yitzchak, you don't want to know why I didn't get a minion together? Because tricha li milse, it was really inconvenient for me. It was really hard for me. Says the Emek Bracha v'im neima. And if you want to say, d'havichi of mitzvah k'kol ha-mitzvahs ha-mechuyeves, if you want to argue that tefillah b'tzibur is just like any other mitzvah, ma taina hi zo tricha li milse. What kind of argument is that? That it's really hard for me to do? Yeah. You know, when I go on my road trips with my kids up to New York every summer, you know what else is really hard? Not eating the cheeseburgers on the side of the road. Right? It'd be a lot more convenient if I could stop off at any McDonald's. Right? So, okay, it's trichli mils, it's hard for me. I don't say that on my road trips to New York. I don't say that by Shabbos. So, says the Emek Bracha, if tefillah b'tzibur is a mitzvah, it's a chiyuv, then what kind of argument is it? Trichli mils. Hachayiv adam lishtadel v'litroach b'mitzos. A person has to work hard and put in self-sacrifice, even if it's difficult to fulfill a mitzvah. Muchach mitzad atzma, mitzvah. That tefillah b'tzibur itself is not a mitzvah. Shum You have no obligation to daven with a tzibur. Aye, so why do we say that it's so important to daven with a tzibur? Right? Not because it's the cake, says the Emek Bracha, but because it's the icing on the cake. Right now, by the way, a cake without icing is like my wife's birthday, right? So if I gave her a cake without icing, she would shrug her shoulders and she would say, yeah, Moskowitz fulfilled the obligation, check, under the cake, but it doesn't really taste good. Right? So that says the Emek Bracha. You fulfilled the cake. You have the cake if you don't have tefillah b'tzibur, but you don't have the icing on the cake. Ela kevan she'ein tefillas yachid. Nishmas bechol eis ela b'tzibur, because we learned in the Gemara and Brachos that the best way to have tefillah heard is through the mechanism of tefillah b'tzibur. And again, I want to be clear, I'm talking about a case where one has access to tefillah b'tzibur, when it's safe for a person to come to tefillah b'tzibur, when it's not safe for a person to daven tefillah b'tzibur, it is an avera to come. It's a much bigger mitzvah to stay home. And I want to be clear about that, right? We're talking in lumdus right now. Ella, right, lefichach, tzarech ha'adam lishtadel lispal ima tzibor kedeshe tukabel tfilaso. And therefore, right, you want the icing, you want that cake to taste good, that, says the Emek Bracha, al pi lamdas, and halacha, he says, is where the notion of tefillah b'tzibur comes in. It's not the cake, but it's the icing on the cake. He says, this is mefurish in a din in the Rambam, where the Rambam in Hilchos tefillah writes, tefillah ha'tzibur nishmas tamid, Ve'afilu hayu bahen chotim, even if there are sinners amongst you, in a kadosh baruch hu mo'ez b'tfilas and shorabim. Right? There's a power in the numbers, that the whole is greater than the sum of the individual parts, and so even if there are individuals that might be lacking, when you bind, when you connect yourself to the tzibur, to the rabim, you blend in better. Right? And picture a courtroom. So a judge, an attorney comes before the courtroom. So if it's me right opposite the judge might say, you know what? You're a bad judge. You're a bad attorney. You're corrupt. You lie. You cheat. You steal, right? But if I'm in a room of 400 attorneys, chances are the judge isn't going to go one by one. The judge is simply going to say, yeah, I know most of you. You guys are good guys. Check. So it's easier for me and my imperfections, my blemishes, to blend in when I'm davening with the tzibur, says the Rambam. Right? V'lo yispal yachid kozman sheyuchal yispal imetzivar. I want to be clear, right? The Rambam says, kozman sheyachal yispal imetzivar. Only if you can daven with the tzibur, to the exclusion of what you and I experienced and are experiencing, which is that many of us, we can't daven with the tzibur. And of course, that's not just a valid exemption, but it's a required exemption, right? And therefore, it says, the Emek Halach at the end, mor lehedje. You see explicitly from the Rambam, she'eno chiyuv klal, Ella hishtadla shetikabel tefilaso. Right? It's not an obligation to daven with the tzibur, but it's good advice. Good advice. You want your tefillah to be answered. Again, under normal circumstances, you have a shul available, you're feeling healthy, it's not too hard for you to get out to a minyan, says the Emek Bracha, you still fulfill the mitzvah at home. But you're taking bad advice, because there's no guarantee that your tefillah is going to be answered when you are at home. Rav Moshe Feinstein was asked a shaila that is very resonated with me, and that is, not because I'm a Talmud Chacham, I'll tell you why in a second. Im Talmud Chacham Rishayli Yispala B'Yechidus, Ba'ashir Shirotza Lumon B'Zman Me'ucha B'Layla V'Yikshe L'Fanav La'Kum L'Yispala B'Boker. Right, B'Tzibur. Guy asked the following shaila. He wanted to stay up late at night to learn, but he understood that if he stays up late at night to learn, it's going to be really hard for him to get up in the morning. So is it preferable for him to stay up late at night to learn? And if he's going to miss minyan in the morning, he's going to miss minyan in the morning. The reason why I said it resonated with me is I think I've shared this in the past. I once asked one of my rebbeim, the Rosh Yeshiva, when I was in Israel. I'm a night owl. I used to be a night owl. I've actually shifted my circadian rhythm. I'm now a morning person. But at the time, I was a night owl. And it was very hard for me to get up early in the morning in yeshiva. And when I did, it was very hard for me to stay awake in Seder. I was extremely overtired. In retrospect, wasn't taking care of myself, but whatever. So I asked him, I said, I have a great solution. Right? Instead of me falling asleep during morning Seder all the time because I'm exhausted, why don't I learn night Seder? Why don't I learn morning Seder from midnight to 3 in the morning? Right? I'll get the same hours in. I'll sleep from 3 to minyan, get up for minyan, go back to sleep till the end of morning Seder, and then come to shir. I've gotten the same exact amount of sleep, and my learning will be so much more productive as a result of me doing it at night rather than doing it in the morning. Let's just say my Rosh Shiva was having none of it. He told me I'm being a fool and to get with the program. But that's why I said it resonated with me. Answers Rav Moshe. So first Rav Moshe goes into a halachic discussion about the fact that a person, again, under normal circumstances, you have to travel a certain distance to daven tefillah b'tzibur. Right? So even when you're on vacation, if there's a minyan that's within a certain prescribed amount of time to get to, so no matter how inconvenient it is, you have to get to that minyan. And says Rav Moshe, based on that, the fact that we have halachas, that you have to work hard to get to a minyan, says Rav Moshe, al kopanim kevan shechazina, shetzarech litroach harbe, the fact that I have to work hard to get to minyan, muchrachin lomar shu chiyav mitzvah ala adam lispala b'atzara. That shows that it's an actual obligation for me to daven with a minyan of 10 people. V'yavshe b'gemara brachos, and even though the Gemara brachos says, right, isa shehu mishum debitzibor nishma umiskabel tefilaso, even though it seems to imply that tefillah b'tzibor is only the icing on the cake and not the actual cake, and so says the Rambam as well, mistaber sheze atzma ose achiyav, dim lo ayav sherut li tefilaso shel adam liskabel, efshar shelo aysa tefilaso klal, v'lo aya yotzei dei mitzvos hatefillah. In other words, what's the whole point of tefillah? The whole point of tefillah is to have your tefillah answered. Right? Otherwise, you just talk to a wall. The reason why we engage in tefillah is because it's part of our emunah, it's part of our belief system, that there's someone listening on the other end of our tefillah. If I didn't think that my tefillah was going to be heard and that there was a possibility of it being answered, I wouldn't daven in the first place. Dafka, because I want my tefillah to be heard, is why I engage in tefillah. So it says Rav Moshe, right? Tefillah b'tzibor is the cake itself, maybe. Because if I daven b'yechidus, if I daven at home alone, again, under normal circumstances, and I therefore my tefillah is not going to be readily heard, so then what's the point of me davening at all? I essentially accomplish nothing by engaging in this form of an activity. Then says Rav Moshe, maybe v'rak mi'cheven shechol tefillah efshar shetiskabel, yotzei adam mitzvos tefillah. Maybe you'll argue, yeah, maskwitz, you might not be a tzaddik, but who should I pick on right now? I'll pick on Gordon Haas. Gordon Haas is a tzaddik, right? So Gordon Haas says, you know what, Moskowitz, you need a tzibur. But I'm such a tzaddik that I should be able to daven at home, right? Because my tefillah is always going to be answered. Says Rav Moshe, go for it, right? In other words, that's a bet you're willing to make on yourself. But I'll tell you personally, that's not a bet I'd be willing to make on myself. In other words, I don't really know how virtuous I am. I try to be a good person. I think I'm a good person. But I don't know what kind of calculations Hashem puts in to whether or not he accepts my tefillah or not. So Rav Moshe, you see, views this very differently than the Emek Habracha. Emek Habracha was explicit that tefillah b'tzibur eino klal chiv mitzvah klal. It is not a mitzvah. Rather, what is it? It's what we would call the icing on the cake. Rav Moshe comes along, and again, at least conceptually, entertains the or supports the possibility that Tefillah B'Tzibur is the actual cake, not just the icing on the cake, that in and of itself is the actual mitzvah. Now, we talk about Tefillah B'Tzibur from now a hashkafic perspective. So the Shulchan Aruch Harav, Shulchan Aruch Harav over here, points out a different reason why we should argue in favor of Tefillah B'Tzibur. Right? In other words, whether you view that it's because it's the cake, or whether you view it's the icing on the cake, there are certain elements that can only be fulfilled through the context of Tefillah B'Tzibur. And what are they? So if you notice, he says over here, Shetefillah HaTzibur, Afa Pishu Mitzvah Midivrayim, even though it's a mitzvah midirabanan, he gedola mi mitzvah sashe shel Torah. Right? This is a third approach. Not only is it the icing on the cake, not only is it the cake itself, says the Shulchan Aruch Harav, but it's actually for all the marbles. For all the marbles. It's greater than the mitzvah of, it's a greater than a biblical mitzvah. Why? Ho'il u'mikadshim ba Hashem barabim. What am I doing in Tefillah B'Tzibur that I cannot fulfill Tefillah B'Yachid? Yeah, Tefillah B'Yachid, whether I fulfill the Chiyav, don't fulfill the Chiyav, says the Shulchan Aruch, but there's an extra mitzvah that can only be fulfilled if dafka, I do it barabim, and that is that I'm able to do a Kiddush Hashem. And that's why we see in the Gemara, people are Mishracher Avdo Kedei Lashlimo. They had 9 people in a minyan, and they had a person who was a Chatzi Evan and Chatzi Ben Chorin, or they said someone who was an Evan. They would free that Eved, that servant, in order to be able to make up the minyan. How can you do that? We know that generally we don't do that. The answer is because davening with the tzibur is such an important mitzvah. Okay. Last thing I want to share with you is from the Chafetz Chaim. When we think about the Chafetz Chaim, we think of the Chafetz Chaim in terms of Shmiras HaLashon. Speaking Lashon Hara, not speaking Lashon Hara, what context do I speak Lashon Hara? The Chafetz Chaim actually spends, if you go through the Sefer, talking, certainly in the introduction, a lot about Talmud Torah. And a lot about the power of our speech on the world around us. And in there, he has about Tefillah B'Tzibur. And he goes through a whole slew of reasons why Tefillah B'Tzibur is so important and what you can only fulfill through Tefillah B'Tzibur, that which I can't fulfill when I'm at home. And I want to share a couple of these with you. Again, to give us chizuk, for those who can go to Minyan now, that we should make the most of it, right? That we should take that opportunity. We shouldn't settle too much into davening at home and the luxuries that are involved in it. And for those who cannot daven with a minyan yet, to give us that to yearn for and to crave for and to daven for the time when our entire keilah can be together. That my tefillah is not incomplete unless all of you are in the base Knesset with me. That's why we call it a base HaKnesset. It's a place of gathering. Parenthetically, by the way, it's interesting to note that we call a shul two things. We either call it a base HaKnesset or we call it a shul. Right, those are two very different definitions of what this room should look like. Right, a Beit Knesset means a house of gathering. A shul comes from a German word meaning a schoolhouse. It's an educational opportunity. Okay, that's for another time. Says the Chafetz Chaim, the Shmiras HaLashon. He says, Reishis kol, yesh lo schar b'fnei atzmo, avor halichasu l'beis ha-medrash. Says the Chafetz Chaim, even if you get nothing out of shul, you can't read the Hebrew words, they go too fast for you, there's too much talking, right? And you have every reason under the sun to stay home. Says the Chafetz Chaim, minimally, you get schar halicha, you get reward just for showing up to shul and participating, right? The Gemara talks about holech ve'ino oseh, a person that walks somewhere and they're not able to even do it. Schar halicha b'yado, they still get reward for the act of walking. Says the Shmiras HaLashon, minimally, even if you get nothing else out of shul, there's a benefit in getting off your couch, coming to shul again when it's healthy, when it's safe, all the qualifications I've been saying the entire time. Number two, he says, Matsoi me'od, keshebala beis ha-medrash hu lo med gamkin, perak mishnayo, so dover halacha, oen yakov, v'chadome. Right, there's a ancillary benefit to coming to shul, and that is you end up learning a little bit. Maybe you'll come to shul from Mincha Maariv. Again, we're not doing this right now, but again, please God, soon. And Rabbi Goldberg will share a little Dvar Torah. I'll share a little bit of Dvar Torah. And you'll learn something for that day. Or maybe you'll come to shul, you'll be in the social, you'll pass through the base medrash or BRS, and you'll say, you know what? maybe let me sit, oh, there's a sefer, I want to look something up. So just the fact of coming to shul means that you might end up catching a little bit of Torah that you wouldn't have otherwise caught. We get questioned on this all the time. We definitely, I'd say, speak a little bit longer than the average rabbi in America in between Mincha Ma'ariv. I once spoke to Rabbi Goldberg about it. I said, when I first moved here, I said, why do you do that? He said, Phil, you have to understand that for many people who go to work and come back from work, this is their learning for the day. This is their exposure to Talmud Torah of the day. And I'm going to cut it down to 2 minutes just because Chaim Yanko wants to get home 3 minutes earlier, right? So that's what the Chafetz Chaim's point number two. Point number three, which I think is amazing, right? Which is the notion of peer pressure. Peer pressure. That by me going to shul, what do I do to other people? I encourage them to go to shul. I make it the cool thing to do, to go to shul. He says, "Dikshadam Israel, beizamidarav, chaveirav lom dimimenu." That when I do something bad, right? You see me talking Lashon Hara. And then you see, oh, a rabbi speaking Lashon Hara. I can speak Lashon Hara also. Ne'enash avuram. I am not just punished for my sin. I am punished for your sin as well. Says the Chafetz Chaim, what's true of sins in punishment is all the more so true of reward. That if I do something good, I daven with kavana, I make an extra chavrusa, I only speak with positive, optimistic words, and you see that, and you then mimic me and copy me and do the same thing, I'm not just rewarded for my action, but I'm rewarded for your action as well. And therefore, it says the Chafetz Chaim, lefi zeh b'inyanenu, when it comes to our topic of davening with a minyan, yadua shekishadam margil atzmo leilech lebeis hamedrash lispala b'tzibur b'chol yom, when a person gets into the habit of, well, again, it could be anything, going to a minyan, learning b'chavrusa, harbe anashim mimichirav v'reav yilamdu mimenu. People are going to see it. People are going to copy you. They're going to see it as an in, cool thing to do. And v'yakabel schar avuram gamkin. And therefore, you are going to receive the reward for them or for their actions as well. It's a domino effect. So says the Chafetz Chaim, don't just think about the impact that it'll have on you. Think about what type of culture it will create in the community when there's more learning, when there's more davening, when there's more act of chesed, when we have a culture where Lashon Hara isn't tolerated at a Shabbos table. So that's point number three of the Chafetz Chaim. Point number four, again, I cut some out and I skip around a little bit. He says, Davar zeh gorem la'arichas yamim. The Gemara in Brachos tells us that causes arichas yamim. It ish kimrish bal mitzafah she eis ratzon shikabot filaso. Again, that notion that it'll be more readily heard, right? Again, according to the Gemara in Brachos, hein el kavir velo yimas, that Hashem never detests the tefillah of the tzibor. And he goes through a whole slew of reasons. And then he comes at the end. He says, number nine, first of all, just think about how many amens, yeheshmei rabbas, kedushas, baruchus you get when you come to shul, right? He counts them out for you. And then he concludes with the following. V'hinei navon l'cheshbon. He says, if we do the cheshbon of all of this, yidbonin adam ba'atzmo esaz rizus ha'yaseir shoril adam alinyan zeh. A person needs to realize how seriously they should take this. Again, when it's safe. And I just want to be so clear about that. Dahainu, that we have to strengthen ourselves for those who it's safe and healthy to come to Minyan, and we've gotten very comfortable davening at home, so we have to be mechazik ourselves. Ki hinei miyom echad belvad mispal shachros mincha. Just in one day, says the Chafetz Chaim, of shachros and mincha, yesh lo lamed ches amenim, mean yutes brachos shel tefila. You get 38 amens just by being in shul or being with a minyan for shachros and mincha. Okay, v'shmona pa'amim amen yeheshmei rabba, and you say yeheshmei rabba countless times, and 16 amens of kaddish, and two kedushos, and baruchu, v'hinei kol zeh hu miyom echad. That's just one day, says the Chafetz Chaim. V'im kein sev v'chashov kama yeshlo mishvu echad mechodesh echad, 1 week, 1 month, a year. Halo ein mispar l'rivoy hazchuyos shem misrabos la'adam ayidei rigilas v'lispal v'sipor. Right, how great of a merit is it for all of us when we therefore, as a result, daven with a minyan. So the Chafetz Chaim simply does the math. He does the math of amens, he does the math of baruchus, he does the math of kedushas, he does the math of brachos, and he says, wait a second, you can simply, just very practically, you can do a lot more in shul with a minyan than you do outside of shul without a minyan. I share this with you, again, to give us all a sense of chizuk. For those who can be coming back to Minyan, it might be a little reticent, might be a little laziness, right? So we should give ourselves chizuk, and we should remember the power of Tefillah B'Tzibur. For those of us who it's not safe yet to come back to Minyan, so we should know, like the Beis HaMikdash, what we're missing out on, so that we can yearn for it and crave for it, and we can dive into Hashem to return us to an environment where it's safe enough for every single one of us to be able to participate in a minyan, in shul, under healthy, normal, and safe, and secure purposes. So, hold on, I see I have a question. If you dive with a real shul minyan being broadcast, there's a psak from Rav Schechter, they say Kedusha with a minyan, does this take the cake? What is the chizuk aspect of davening in shul? Yes, so Rav Schechter definitely has a psak that if you're not able to daven in a real minyan, then you can, there are broadcasts available. I know the OU tried setting up something previously. I know there's been discussion about even doing it at BRS. It's more of a logistical issue with us. But minimally, if you saw what the Gemara in Brachos told you, that what you should aspire for is to daven at the same time as one of the local minyanim is davening. So for example, at BRS we have a 6:15, 7:15, 8:15, and 9:30 minyan. Even if you're going to daven at home and you're going to daven with b'yichidus, it's still better to line up your davening to be parallel with the davening here that exists at BRS. So don't daven at 7:45 in the morning. Daven at 7:15 in the morning, daven at 8:15 in the morning, so that at least, again, that was the Gemara in Brachos that we saw in source number one, so at least there's that connection to the tzibor, so that if you can't be there for what we'll call like the real McCoy, you're still there for an element of connection to the tzibor, and again, I think that definitely carries weight as well. Thank you for the question. And again, as always, most importantly, right, what do we say every morning? The Shulchan Aruch Harav points this out over here. He says, "Umikol Malkom, Talmud Torah Keneged Kulam, Gadol Mikulam." Even though we say V'iyun Tefillah, even though we say that Tefillah is one of the most important things, we nonetheless record that that Talmud Torah is even surpasses that. Yes, I see another question. Is davening Vasikin preferable to coming to Shul? Yes. If you're davening not preferable to come in shul, but if you are davening biyichidus, it is definitely preferable to daven in a way that you can daven vasikin. I know for many over the last number of months they were makbid to try for that. It's a little easier here in Florida, a little harder for those New Yorkers amongst us. Nate's in New York is absurdly early right now. I have a brother who davens vasikin every single morning, and he gets up in the fours. And God bless all of you that do that. But it's a lot easier to daven vasikin here in Florida. One of the other numbers on the list of reasons why we love living in Florida. So again, I want to thank everyone. A tremendous yashar koach that even if we can't be together for Minyan, the fact that we can gather together for Talmud Torah B'Tzibur, that in and of itself is an enormous Kiddush Hashem and a tremendous yashar koach to all of us.